Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You were going to do your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, were you close to making any deals, and is there any measure of disappointment?
Well, first I would say that deals are like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no like, it's either a deal or it's not. So I don't know how close you can be. I know that everyone worked hard, and that we investigated and looked in and made phone calls, and they, what personnel departments do. And in the end, we decided that this was what we were going to do and decided to move forward with our preparation. Tampa, excellent football team, coming off a bye. A lot of really good veterans that have played at a high level for a lot of years, and a really, really competitive quarterback who's never out of it. So, you know, that's where our focus is. You know, I know that there's a lot of action and a lot of talk, and again, it's kind of where we're at.
Time now for the Christian Arcand Show.
Yo, it's all Arcand
on WEEI.
Welcome, welcome, welcome in. Obviously, this is not Christian Arcand. Christian has the night off. This is Megan Ottolini. I'm joined by John Lyons tonight. We're rolling with you until 10 p.m. If you want to join us on the phones, on the text line, 617-779-7937. Or you can find us at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI if you want to join in on the Twitch stream. I don't know if we're on YouTube. I'm assuming we are if we're on Twitch. But this is where we're starting, John, because I'm a little fired up. And I haven't gotten to talk about the trade deadline very much. And I've spent the whole day hearing everybody's reactions. Oh, they should have done so much more. Oh, can't you understand the long view, the long perspective of this? You have 4 6-round picks. You couldn't get anybody for any of those picks. You have 2 7th-rounders. You have a 5th-rounder. I'm okay with not giving up a 3rd-rounder or better for Breece Hall, thinking that the Jets aren't going to trade you anybody. And I understand that it's the trade deadline. I'm not a crazy person thinking that this is like baseball and you're going to get A.J. Brown or Trey Hendrickson or some big move like that. But you couldn't get anything. You couldn't get anyone besides signing Brendan Rice, who got cut by the Chargers. All due respect from his Hall of Fame family at the end of summer. That's all we got. Sending Kyle Duggar out, eating almost his entire contract and having him on the books for next year, and sending Keon White out, and you didn't get anybody to supplement that depth. Like, that's tough. That is a tough thing to sell. And I think that's why when you hear Mike Vrabel there, it sounds like they weren't even close. And beyond that, he's saying, let's move on and think about Tampa. let's answer this and try to move this press conference along as quickly as we can.
If I had to pick one word, Mego, to describe this trade deadline, it would be underwhelming, right? Because I didn't expect them to do the Sauce Gardner deal or the Quinnen Williams deal. You said A.J. Brown, but what did you and I, like when we did Six Rings podcast in the summer, what is one of the things we talked the most about? The depth on the roster, that it wasn't, you had quality starters at defensive tackle and linebacker and corner and potentially at that time receiver, and it's kind of worked out that way. But what was going to happen if you had an injury or two? Like, look at just some of these positions. Now you've traded Keon White away. What are things going to look like if Harold Landry has to miss three or four games? Or what are things going to have to look like if Robert Spillane has to miss three or four games? Or Ramondre Stevenson, who's already missed one, and we saw it show up definitely in the pass blocking space against Atlanta, but in general against Atlanta. What if he has to miss three or four games going for? What if one of your offense, and look, I know offensive line depth is hard to come by, but point being, a lot of these positions, they have quality starters. They don't have a lot of depth. And this, I think, was a missed opportunity to augment that depth.
Yeah, I'm just a little flummoxed by the explanation.
Like you said, the four six-round picks, like if you look at what Rashid Shaheed went for, what Jacoby Myers went for, what Logan Wilson went for Cincinnati to Dallas for, day three pick. Like, look, I understand they're trying to build this, and I understand that you want as many draft picks as possible to get young players. But you're going to tell me one sixth-round pick out of four for Logan Wilson or a fifth and a sixth for a Rashid Shaheed is really going to impede your rebuild?
Deals are
much?
Like being pregnant.
By the way, people were flipping out about that saying, thinking, like, oh, he's not, first, it must have resonated for you. I don't want to like put you all totally out on Front Street, but you're like, yeah, there's some truth to that in my own personal life is what I'm guessing you were thinking.
Yeah, a little
not
bit.
Not me, but... The following questions coming up from that, and then the answers about like, well, you know, we got to focus on the future and we'll get into the priority still being winning. But another piece that jumped out to me is Vrabel saying like we're 7-2, as if you guys are acting like we made it to the conference championship last year and we need to double down because of how close we were. Well, do you know how hard it's been for people to come by 7 wins? In the last couple seasons for this Patriots team? So yeah, all of a sudden the stakes got a lot higher at the trade deadline. And I think that it's just people who think that they were going to get an A.J. Brown or a Trey Hendrickson or something like that, a Sauce Gardner, they're crazy, okay? They're delusional. You're never going to satisfy those people. And if you're in the business of trying to satisfy all your fans, you're always going to fail. But in the interest of this team, which has done so much through the first 9 games of the season, to not supplement a roster that is thin at so many positions, as you just said, John Lyons, it just puts you on shaky ground for this season when everything is breaking your way. It's almost like, I don't like doing the whole football gods thing, but you are testing something there in like the karmic universe.
Well, even beyond that, right? You watch this team, and I know the schedule has been soft. Like, they're playing Tampa Bay this Sunday. That's going to be the first time they play a team with a winning record since they played Buffalo back on Sunday Night Football last month. But it feels like you're on to something here. And we talked in the summer about this a little bit, too, where, yeah, it's the first year of your kind of head coach rebuild, but your roster, it's almost year three of the rebuild, and that Christian Gonzalez was drafted in 2023. Drake May was 2024. And then, of course, Will Campbell, and we'll see how Travion Henderson and the rest of these guys go this year. But then you had the big free agency class. Like, this isn't the spring of 2023 or even four. Like, you've kind of been working on this roster for a few years. Even a guy like Alex Austin, who's, I think, a good depth piece. This is, what, third year with the team now? It started in 2023?
And quite unfortunately, like, Alex Austin had a great training camp. And then when Christian Gonzalez was out, there were some struggling moments for him in the first four
games. Even like Demario Douglas, Kayshon Booty, these are guys that were brought in 2023. So my point being, it's not like it's just year one across the board. Now, it is year one for Vrabel and Cowden, but your roster build, it's year like 2.5, if you will, with it, like 2.5. So I can understand if someone says, like, if the Titans, like, oh, we're in year one of a rebuild, we're not going to buy at the trade deadline, or a team like that, or the Browns, right, that are at the bottom, you're not really in year one of a rebuild. Like, yeah, I know you sucked last year and you won 4 games, and you sucked the year before and won 4 games, but you've been working on this roster for a couple of years now. I think now would have been a good time to add some depth to it, because I just look forward. I mean, what's going to happen if they play a New York Giants team on Monday Night Football a month from now, or a Baltimore team that is resurgent and they have a couple key injuries? Like, that could flip from a win to a loss.
Yeah, and I think the way that you're talking about the year one of the rebuild, we've heard some versions of that from Bill Belichick when he was trying to stage his own rebuild past in the post-Tom Brady era here. But I don't really think that's the way that teams should function when you already have the quarterback. and the quarterback is performing the way he did. Do you think the Bengals in year two with Joe Burrow looked at that situation and said, well, this is too early to be at the Super Bowl? Like, they had the easiest schedule leading up to this week, and they have the easiest strength of schedule remaining. And I heard, like everybody else, Mike Vrabel shoved Curtis in a locker a little bit on the morning show, with all due respect, and I loved Curtis, like, leaning into it. That's the way that everybody should respond and have fun with it.
I love your little smirk over there.
So good. Awesome moment. But at the same time, like, the strength of schedule is real. When you're playing teams that don't have the starting quarterbacks, that's real. When Lamar Jackson is banged up and we still don't know who that Ravens team is going to be, that's real. When Patrick Mahomes is struggling to be a playoff team with the Kansas City Chiefs, that's real. When Joe Burrow is out for most of the year, like, these are all things that are breaking your way. And to not take advantage of, we're not talking about you got to go out and get Sauce Gardner. We're not talking about changing the complexion of, like, your offensive line starters or anything. We're just talking about reinforcements.
And I wonder how much of this, and I think, you know, I'd be curious if you agree or disagree. It feels like when they make football decisions, it's the Mike Vrabel, Ryan Cowden show, and everyone else is kind of
there. Whoa. But if Vrabel, can we play the whole answer again? Because there is a little part of this, Joe Braverman, that I feel was a little interesting in terms of what you're about to talk about. Okay. I promise, because you bring up Mike Vrabel's kind of what we consider his crew, right? And they have their thumb on the scale for personnel decisions. But let's listen to his answer again.
You either are or you aren't. There's no, like, it's either a deal or it's not. So I don't know how close you can be. I know that everyone worked hard, and that we investigated and looked in and made phone calls, and they, what personnel departments do. And in the end, we decided that this was what we were going to do. And
okay, the personnel department. So they worked really hard.
This is why I bring that up, Mego, because a lot of us look at it, myself included. Hey, this is the Vrabel, Ryan Cowden, and Stretch show. But Elliot Wolf comes from a system in Green Bay, Cleveland, all that, where you hoard draft picks. Like, outside of that Deshaun Watson trade, you hoard draft picks, and you draft as many guys as you can every single year. So I wonder, does this speak to, and again, he's not the guy in charge. He's probably not even the guy number two in charge. But does this speak, at least in some level, to his influence? Like, is he in Vrabel and Cowden's ear and Stretch's ear saying, you know, guys, yeah, we could trade a fifth and a sixth for Rashid Shaheed, but we have 10 draft picks going into the draft next year. We can really get this thing really rolling next year if we use these picks, because he's a huge draft pick guy. Like, that's his thing, draft picks, that whole mindset from the Wolf tree. And so I wonder if his influence, even in a backdoor way, kind of played into this a little bit too.
It's a good question to ask. We've been so deep in the actual football that we've been away from discussing the power dynamics behind the scenes in the personnel department in particular. I would ask you first, who do you think engineered the pieces that were going out in terms of Keon White and Kyle Duggar? Who do you think had the intention? And I'm not saying everybody can't be in agreement, but who do you think had a louder voice in having them sent out the door, especially with how much you had to eat of Kyle Duggar's contract, and who was here when those guys signed the contracts they previously had with the team?
I think, I don't have hard evidence of this, wouldn't surprise me if Keon White was kind of happy to go and was like, if you're not going to play me, like, let me go. But I think that the Keon White and Duggar, to me, comes much more from Vrabel than
anyone else
because I look at those trades, Mega, I don't know about you, those are scheme trades, right? Because those are two, especially in Keon White's case, two talented football players, and I know Duggar has limitations in coverage. We've all seen it over the past several years. But two guys that are too good to just not be playing at all. Like, Keon White wasn't playing that much. Kyle Duggar was only playing when Jalen Hawkins was out injured. Other than that, wasn't playing. I mean, they were playing three corners in their sub-packages. They weren't playing three safeties.
I will say those guys haven't been good.
Duggar has, in about a year. I think White has had some moments. Like, I thought in camp White had some moments. Duggar, though, yeah, he got passed by right away. And even to your point, like, Keon White had some moments in camp, but it wasn't the guy we thought he was going to be early last year. But still, I think, you know, these are guys that produced in Bill Belichick's defense. They fit in DeMarcus Covington's defense, which I know took a step back last year. But then all of a sudden in Mike Vrabel's defense, I mean, Jalen Hawkins and Craig Woodson, it felt like they passed Kyle Duggar by the end of the first week of training camp. And Keon White was passed by pretty quickly as well. And then they weren't even playing much at all during the year. I mean, one of the concerns we had before the year is, hey, Milton Williams has played less than 50% of the snaps last year. Are they going to find ways to get Keon White rushing inside to give Milton Williams? They didn't even do that. Like, right. They haven't even done that. So I think those trades, especially the eating of the money for Duggar, that to me is a scheme trade. Vrabel's the more driving force there.
So this is the trap I don't want to fall into when we talk about these moves. I don't want to be somebody who looks at situations and say, when they do something I agree with, it's a Vrabel move. And when they do something I disagree with, it's a Wolf move. Like, that is, we can't operate that way. Yeah. And so while I respect the question of how much power does Elliott Wolf wield at the trade deadline to say, I'm not giving up a fifth for somebody else's backup running back or an edge rusher, the like defensive end, anything like that. Like, I respect that question. I still think Vrabel is probably the one at the end of the day who's really pushing the decision.
The hero you need isn't the hero that you have.
What I wonder, too, is, like, I think in the offseason, it's Vrabel and Cowden primarily making the personnel decisions. In season, while Vrabel's coaching, even if he has the final say, is he ceding a little bit more of that to Ryan Cowden?
Wouldn't he have more say, like, in season because he's in the trenches with these guys?
But the day-to-day hourly grind of coaching, like, I don't know if he doesn't have the time to go through and be like, who's available, who's not. And I'm not saying he's not involved. What I'm saying is, I think, like, leading up to the draft, I bet you Vrabel was the biggest advocate of Will Campbell in the building. And he was all over it, and he pushed it. Is he that same way with Logan Wilson before he gets traded to the Cowboys while he's in the middle of game play? Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm not, I agree with you that if you're going to give Vrabel credit in the offseason, you have to look at him now as the chief decision maker. I just wonder, like, Ryan Cowden is kind of this middleman between Vrabel and the new guys and Wolf and the guys that were here. Does he cede a little bit of that to those guys during the year or not?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question to ask. I know people are maybe a little bit fatigued by the trade deadline, but I do want to get deeper into it because I think it tells you a lot about how they feel about the team this year, what the overall plans are. And of course, we have to get into the money because there's a lot of money questions out there. And it matters when you're 7-2 and you have a quarterback on the rookie contract, the most coveted position that you can be in financially across the entire league, maybe across all of professional sports. It's questions that you have to ask to see if you're going to be at a position to have sustained winning. Not just seven wins in 9 games. We have to take a longer term look at these things. But 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to text in, if you want to call in. Again, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI if you want to join in on Twitch. We'll be looking at you guys on the chat. But we have to get to trending. And after that, we're going to hear a little bit more from Vrabel on the priorities. We're going to hear an interesting perspective from my friend Karen Garigian of MassLive. First, what's trending?
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Celtics try to get back to their winning ways after back-to-back losses as they host the 1-6 Washington Wizards. The Seas have lost both of their games in the middle of their 3-game homestand so far to Houston on Saturday night and Utah Monday night. Only injury on the books is veteran Chris Middleton for Washington. He's out with right knee soreness. Tip-off from TD Garden is set for 7:30. Players are back at Patriots practice today to begin prep for their Week 10 matchup in Tampa with the Buccaneers. Running back Ramondre Stevenson did not practice for the fourth straight practice, along with Kayshon Booty, Garrett Bradbury, Christian Ellis, and Joshua Farmer. Marte Mapu was a full participant, as well as Christian Gonzalez. Gonzalez cleared the NFL's game day concussion protocol. For the Bucs, receiver Chris Godwin and running back Bucky Irving did not practice. Tackle Luke Getteke was limited. And linebacker Lavonte David and quarterback Baker Mayfield were full participants. Some other news from around the NFL. Jacoby Brissett will be the Cardinals quarterback going forward after Kyler Murray was placed on injured reserve. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud was ruled out of Sunday's game due to a concussion. And Bill Belichick was among 9 semifinalists in the coaches category of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, with other names such as Tom Coughlin and Mike Shanahan. And news from around Major League Baseball, with free agency starting tomorrow at 5 p.m., the Atlanta Braves are picking up Chris Sale's $18 million club option for 2026. Jack Flaherty will opt into his $20 million deal with the Tigers. And staying with the Tigers, Detroit are reportedly willing to trade Cy Young candidate Tarek Skubal, with ESPN's Buster Olney saying the Red Sox are, quote-unquote, well-positioned to pursue him. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, the long-term vision for the program, you know, is what's most important here. In fact,
no, winning is the most important thing. Don't put words in my mouth. Winning is the most important thing.
When you guys are discussing how to handle the trade deadline, did the fact of how wide open the AFC currently looks like at all factor into your decision-making?
For us to sit here and think that anything is wide open and talk about playoffs, like we're focusing on our 10th game in a row. That's what we're focused on, is how do we get prepared on Wednesday? How do we get our bodies back? How do we get mentally prepared, physically prepared to go on the road to a place that is hard to play? And that's where our focus is. It's not trying to predict the future of saying, well, it's wide open. We're just going to keep focusing on what's in front of us, and that's what those conversations are about.
So that was Mike Vrabel answering our friend Andrew Callahan. Don't put words in my mouth. You wanted his message clear, and the message is clear. The message has been, we haven't really shown enough. or we haven't shown enough for people to be talking about playoffs when we're 7-2. We're just focused on playing this 10th game. And all this other stuff, this projection about the playoffs and this projection about the ease of schedule, he doesn't buy into any of that. Do you buy into that, John Lyons? So,
this is the thing about what Vrabel said today. From a head coach, that's what you want to hear, right? One day at a time, we're focused on this week and all that. But from a GM, like if he's making the roster decisions like we all think, that's not necessarily what you
want
to hear.
But do you, your perspective... Do you believe that strength of schedule is a BS thing when everybody likes
Don't
to wave,
put
their,
words in my mouth.
Wave so, their hands in the air and say any given Sunday?
I think it's overrated.
Crazy.
I think it's overrated. Like, I don't think it's a BS thing, but I think it's overrated. And the reason I say that is the actual good teams can win every single week. Like, if the Patriots are going to be an actual, like, I think they're, we can safely say they're a good team now, 7-2. But if they're going to be one of those really good teams, then the strength of schedule should be irrelevant to how they build their roster. It should be, we're a really good team, this is what we do or do not need, and this is how we're going to go get it. To me, the teams that worry about strength of schedule are the teams that deep down don't think they're that good. Like, if the Patriots are worried about strength of schedule, and like, oh, we beat the Titans, we beat the Browns, right? Then deep down, that tells me they don't think they're that good.
But can't teams that aren't great teams win the Super Bowl? I mean, God, New York did it twice with Eli Manning.
Those are pretty good teams, though.
But they were great teams?
Maybe not great, and especially, I mean, 07, they weren't the best team.
Seriously.
But I think those were still real. Those were really good teams. Because even, not to go down memory lane, but in 07, week 17, Patriots only beat the Giants by 3, and then they lost them in the Super Bowl. Like, that was a good. In 2011, Giants beat the Patriots in Foxborough, then beat them in the Super Bowl. Like, that was a really good team. And I think, but that's the point. If you're going to be one of those, and even take the Super Bowl out of it, you're going to be one of the teams in the divisional round. Because I think once you get in the divisional round, you're a great team. You know, that's the final, what, 8 teams?
So you would say the Commanders last year were a great team.
Yeah, for last year at least, yes, they were, right? If you get to the conference championship game, you're one of the elite teams in the league. If you get to the divisional round, you're a great team. That's kind of my breakdown.
You're pretending like luck and situation have nothing to do here.
Matter.
And that's the part I can't abide by when I listen to this. And you're right. It's what the coach should say. But for all of us watching it, we know the way how much luck and injuries and scheduling indeed does play into a path for a team.
Don't put words in my mouth.
And to pretend like this isn't a great path that you're looking at for yourselves is you're not being opportunistic, in my opinion.
Right, like they got luck the other day when Parker Romo missed the extra point. Maybe you lose that game if he makes that extra
point.
Absolutely. You could have lost
the Commanders
overtime.
Were a good team last year. They weren't I'm sorry. I'm a Commanders fan. They were not an elite team.
Condolences, by the way.
They were not an elite team. They were awesome against Detroit. That was the most bona fide win of their entire season and the playoffs. But they got lucky. And they had a lot of stuff break their way, and they ended up in the conference championship. That can happen for you, but you got to take advantage of it. And I think we haven't even gotten into the money side. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, man, so cheap. They're trying to be like Green Bay. They're trying to be like Cleveland. Like, that is not the way that I look at things. But I think that they are not being opportunistic. And to me, that's frustrating because you may have lucked into something here.
And that's why I say you can, if you're trying to be a really good team, just take the strength of schedule out of it. If just look in the mirror. Hey, we need some more depth at defensive end. We need more depth at linebacker. Let's see what Stevenson's injury is. We could use some running back depth. Rashid Shaheed has a speed element that we don't have on our team. Like, that's the thing. You can take the schedule. I don't care if you're playing the Chiefs for 8 weeks in a row or you're playing the Browns for 8 weeks in a row or anything in between. Look in the mirror and you say, hey, we want to be a really good team. These are the couple areas we need to improve our depth, and they didn't do that. Like, that's to go back to what you said in the first segment. If you missed any of it, the Odyssey app is free, of course. You didn't have to get Sauce Gardner or Quinn and Williams. So, yeah, sure, that'd be fun. But look, you have really good players at corner. You have good players at defensive tackle. What you don't have is a ton of depth or a real legit speed element at wide receiver, because Kyle Williams so far just hasn't emerged yet. So those are the things that I think you could have had. And again, you could have done those things and you'd still have plenty of draft picks next spring.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of this stuff is starting to like irk me a little bit because I understand the head coach saying it. That's his messaging to keep his team 10 toes down and in reality and hungry and not to get higher in their own supply week after week. But hearing people echo it, it annoys me because I'm like, you guys act like we don't watch the NFL every week and every year and see how things break for these teams. Like, that's annoying to me. You act like you can't luck into a great situation, get hot and go on a run. And the team has enough, as you said, upfront starter talent to do that. They have the quarterback and they have a definitely a damn good head coach right now. Like, that is enough for most teams. But you do have to add depth pieces, and they didn't do it, and they're sitting with a ton of cap space, and they've certainly got cash to spend. And so, to me, the lack of being opportunistic irks me a little bit. I'm gonna grab a phone call here, if you'll abide by it, John Lyons. This is Doug in New Hampshire. He wants to talk about Patriots' lack of trades. What's up, Doug?
Hi, how are you guys tonight?
Doing well. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm well. I think that I'm just going to say my piece here real quick. You know, they probably did have a few players in mind that they wanted to bring into the fold, but for whatever reason, too high draft capital, contracts are too big. They're going to sit and just grab someone off the waiver, you know? Remember James Harrison from, was that 2017?
Yes, he ended up playing snaps in the Super Bowl that year.
And yeah. I mean, they got him for next to nothing. There's a lot of players out there. They got a roster. It's full right now. There's a lot of talent. There's not a lot of difference between your third best player at that position and your fourth or fifth. So I think they looked at the talent out there, what it cost, and made a business decision. They got a lot of cap room they have to spend. They have to spend it, or they got to pay their players more.
Thank you, Doug. I agree with your, I guess, assessment of the market. We heard from Tommy Curran today that he believes that that he has his information was that the prices were too high for the pieces that they wanted to get. I would love to know what the actual prices, the asking prices were, because if that means draft capital, like at what point are you not willing to part with somebody, especially if they're going to be a depth piece? But you guys, they have two injuries to in their starting running back room. They Terrell Jennings had a great day on Sunday, but is that your long-term option behind Travion Henderson if Ramondre Stevenson's toe is keeping him out for 3-4 weeks, whatever it might be? I don't know that he's going to play this week. We didn't get any information on that. We haven't gotten any indication other than he's working back to being available. Like, to sit here and be like, oh, you guys are, I see on the text line, and I love you guys, 617-779-7937. If you guys want to join the show, everybody is welcome. We'll entertain every thought, every opinion, and if you think we're stupid, we are. So we welcome that feedback.
In the nicest way possible.
But saying that you guys are projecting injuries, no, the injuries are here, guys. Antonio Gibson is done for the year. It breaks my heart. I love that guy. And Ramondre Stevenson finally getting some traction over the last couple games, 122 rushing yards through the two games before he has a toe injury that springs up at some point in last week. And we don't know when he's going to play again. Like, these are real considerations.
And it's not the only reason, Mego, but I don't think it's a coincidence that their offense ground to a halt in the second half and Kayshon Boutte didn't play in the second half, because he's been the only guy so far this year that can go over the top. And look, you can't live throwing 40-yard passes as fun as they are. But when Atlanta looked at it and said, hey, they have nobody that's going to run by us over the top, we can creep down and clog the middle a lot more, it was much harder for the Patriots to move the ball.
Now, I will say, DeMario,
not the only reason.
DeMario Douglas did try to.
He had the 58-yard
run. And that was on Drake, the misconnection, because he had so much pressure up front. Yeah. That was on Drake. That wasn't on Pop. But there is something to, you know, a receiver and a quarterback being timed well. And Kayshon and Drake have been timed so well this season that you're right, Lyons. Like, that could be a thing. It's a grade one hamstring injury. And so we hope it's not something as serious as Gonzo's, and it doesn't seem like it will be. But the injuries are already here. We're in week 10. And by the way, you should be kissing the ground that Will Campbell walks on. Because 8 out of 9 weeks so far, your starting offensive line has played together. Jared Wilson has missed one game. And other than that, like, that hardly ever happens for at least for Patriots teams. So knock on wood, like, I'm not trying to put anything bad out there, but it's already here. And I just can't believe that you didn't bring any reinforcements in. To me, that is a little strange. It's a little bizarre.
And I think if you look at, like, their offseason and their roster next year, there is going to be some significant additions needed. Like, they're going to need one, if not two, new starting offensive linemen next year. They're going to need another edge player. They're going to need another linebacker. So I understand, like, they are going to need a lot. However they finish this year, they're going to need a lot in the offseason. But you could sacrifice two or three draft picks now and still be able to get those pieces that you need in the offseason, at least most of it. Like, that's a, like, when we talk about short-term and long-term here, like, I agree. I don't want to mortgage your whole future to try to win in 2025, because even if they did that, I don't know if they'd be good enough to be a Super Bowl team. But I think you could have got some of these pieces and then still looked at the offseason and had plenty of money to spend, plenty of draft capital to either trade or use on young guys to pick, and filled some of these holes they have. Because I think there's an element of this Patriots team, and some of it's because they've played a mostly easy schedule, where there's things there that are problems that just haven't shown up as problems yet. And they did a little bit against Pittsburgh, a little bit against the Raiders, at times against Buffalo, but it just hasn't killed them yet. But against Tampa, or if the Ravens are good by the time you play, like, it's going to show up against some of those teams. So I understand not wanting to mortgage things. And I don't think anyone's asking for that.
No.
I think you could have got some of these depth pieces.
Well, I shouldn't say no. That. Some people are crazy. Some people are definitely asking for it. Let's get another call in here. This is Mark in Connecticut. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it. You know, going back to the Tommy Curran thing, tight end, that's going to be a sneaky reinforcement position, especially with Austin Hooper being up there in age, Hunter Henry's up there in age, and I think they're on the last year of their deals. But David Njoku is a really good, like, kind of move kind of tight end that I really like out of Cleveland. And I, for some reason, thought that he was available at the trade deadline. And I know the connection between Mike Vrabel and Cleveland. You know, he was there last year. And I just thought that maybe we could have maybe gotten him, you know, in for, especially for long-term/short-term. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. I know that Schefter had reporting leading up to the trade deadline that Njoku was probably not going to move, because he seems like the kind of player from a team like Cleveland that would be on the trade block. I don't know if you saw any of his comments from today, but he is really happy to still be in Cleveland.
Yeah,
and there's not
a lot
of people who can say that.
Yeah, to the caller's point, though, and I mean, we can do this show, I guess, in March, Mego, but tight end might be one of their, if not their biggest need next offseason, with the age of Henry and Hooper and the contract situations. Like, that's, don't be shocked, folks, if that's their first round pick next
year.
Yeah,
I thought that maybe we were getting
I'm in Cleveland, baby. I'm not going nowhere, huh?
There he is. I thought maybe we were getting, like,
really
an audition,
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
from Kyle Pitts on Sunday, that maybe you'd go for that. Like, it wasn't the most obvious need. It wasn't running back. It wasn't edge. It wasn't any kind of secondary depth, but it was still, there's still a need, right?
And Njoku, to the caller's point, I mean, he had, what, 64 catches last year, and he's been on a bad offense this year. Like, wouldn't have hated that guy as part of the tight end mix, and I think that would have been another guy. Is it a fifth-round pick to get that guy? Like, it's not going to be a premium, you know, draft capital type thing to get that guy. So, yeah, I mean, and that's really kind of, to the caller's point, that's just kind of what we're getting at here. Like, that even Njoku, he would be your second tight end at best, right, behind Hunter Henry.
I teased this before, but with the callers, we didn't get to it. So right after this very quick break, we are going to hear from Karen Garigian and her perspective on the money that's just sitting around, burning a hole in the pocket of whoever you think is in power. I mean, I'm not saying that the Crafts are necessarily directly connected to what they did or didn't do at the trade
lighthouse
deadline. Yeah. But let's hear Karen Garigian of Mass Live's perspective right after this very quick break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoes shoe shopping isn't fun. Are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
From everything you heard or ascertained, why do you think the Patriots didn't make any moves yesterday?
Because there were not any moves to be made from their perspective. They feel like they're building a roster around Drake May, and they'd like to obviously have that roster be as strong as possible. You're not going to make moves just to make moves. You want to make sure that they're the right moves at the right time. And they could have used certain players at certain spots. It wouldn't have hurt to get another defensive back. It wouldn't have hurt to get another offensive lineman. It wouldn't have hurt to get another running back. But I think that they just felt like the value wasn't there. I think they checked in on various things. But I was told early in the week that not to expect anything significant from them, and that's exactly what happened.
All due respect, Mr. Schefter, there's quite a difference between anything significant and anything at all. What did you do? Nothing. Nothing. You dumped off two players who you wanted to dump off at the end of the summer, but they were good guys. They stuck around. They did the right thing, and you put them in friendly spots to go. And Keon White seemed very happy when he got off the plane with his new team.
Can I ask you a somewhat related question? I'm just reading some of these texts here.
Okay.
And the Twitch comments, too.
They're friendly, and they're talking about how cute I am.
And how much wonderful
they
I
miss
am.
Us.
Of course. Okay. Yeah, of course. But a lot of people say, hey, if this was the Red Sox, people would be freaking out, callers would be pissed. Whereas now there's more people saying, oh, well, it's the NFL, it's different. Like, is it that much different than, say, the Red Sox not doing anything at the trade deadline? Like, I know it's different sports, but when the Red Sox basically did nothing at this year's trade deadline, not only was it a huge topic then, I mean, Craig Breslow got booed on the Greg Hill Show when he came on, but we talked about it when they got eliminated in the playoffs. And I know the baseball trade deadline is different than the NFL.
That's what it is to me. It's two things to me. To answer your question, I'd say first part is people are used to more significant moves at the trade deadline and for baseball, and not doing anything at a baseball trade deadline would just be like, did everybody... Like
Steven Matz is just a slap in the
like,
face.
Like, did everyone just take off Steven. Work today?
It would Guys, be- Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox.
He got booed.
I also think people, this is a new, mostly new staff outside of Elliot Wolf that is in the Patriots world right now. And so they're having success very quickly. They're in a little bit of a honeymoon period where I think people are maybe rightfully so giving them the benefit of the doubt. Look, most of the personnel moves that they've made, and a lot of them have to do with the old guard and guys who were under big contracts before, they cleaned house and it's worked basically 100% so far. You see Juwan Bentley on a practice squad elsewhere. Jabril Peppers, all due respect, like, not exactly lighting the world on fire. I'm not worried about losing Kyle Duggar and losing Keon White. Like, maybe they have earned the benefit of the doubt. I just think that when you look at where they are now, not even having reinforcements should be a disappointment. Yeah. Like, it should be, you should expect more.
And I think some of it is sometimes the Patriots get more benefit of the doubt because it's football and it's the Patriots and all this. But I think if you just compare the two, and not to get too deep in the weeds, but it felt like the Red Sox from 2020 to 2024 made an intentional decision to not compete as much as at a high enough level as they had previously. And I know 21, they got to the ALCS, but some of that, they kind of, to your point earlier, like, they lucked out, they kind of got on a run. Whereas the Patriots, it felt like they were trying to compete, at least from 2021 to 2024.
They just
made horrible decisions. Like, they fired a coach. They spent a bunch of money in the 2021 offseason. Like, they drafted a quarterback in the first round. They did do a lot. They just screwed most of it up. And I wonder if that's where the difference in fan anger comes from and fan opinion comes from, too.
So I spoke to Karen Garigan of Mass Live down at Gillette today for the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, which we do several times a week. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcast. If you haven't given it a listen and you just want to hear Patriots talk in a deep and thoughtful way, that's the place to find it. But Karen, we had this conversation about when they have so much cap space and opportunity to spend and they do nothing at the trade deadline, what does that tell you about their long-term perspective with guys who they know they want to hang on to with this team? Here's our little conversation here.
When looking at the situation of how much money they have in cap space, do you feel like the looming contracts of especially Christian Gonzalez, but some other young talent that has proven successful so far, like Drake May, has anything to do with holding on to that space against the cap?
I'm sure it factors in. But again, that's all part of, again, the grand plan. I'm sure they did not expect to be 7-2 with 8 games remaining or however many games remaining. I'm sure they didn't expect the Chiefs to be fighting for their lives to get in. I'm sure they didn't expect, you know, the Bills to not be as great as people thought, or Baltimore trying to fight to get in.
Or Joe Burrow being out for most of the season.
I'm sure, but when stuff like that happens, you adjust, at least in my brain, you adjust your thinking a little bit.
Okay, so this is a little bit of a logical pretzel that I find myself in with the idea that they are rolling over some of this because, or they're saving their spending because Christian Gonzalez is going to get paid. You saw that Sauce Gardner money. Get ready for Christian Gonzalez's contract because it's going to be big. And then after that, you're in the great position to give Drake May the kind of contract that Josh Allen has gotten, that Patrick Mahomes has gotten, Justin Herbert, whatever top tier quarterback you want to throw out there. It's going to be expensive. But guess what? This year you have the rookie contract with your quarterback. Like, how often do we hear about, like, oh, why do they burn through these quarterbacks? Well, because the rookie contract with the quarterback is so valuable. And now you're not spending when you have the rookie contract? Like, I'm not sitting here and saying they don't spend, because I know that they did in free agency, John, and I know you want to jump in and say that. But to just hold on to, if there is any part of it logically that they're holding on to roll over some of this because they know that they have these big contracts, well, you should be so lucky that you finally have the talented players again that you can pay them that way.
If that's part of their philosophy, like, we're not going to do as much at the trade deadline because we have to pay Christian Gonzalez and May and 2 years from now, 3 years from now, Will Campbell, that's totally bogus. Like, that's ridiculous to me because, first of all, and I'm not one of those people that says the cap is totally fake, but you can pay pretty much anybody you want to pay. You could find a way with signing bonuses and structures. So, like, if you're telling me, oh, they got to pay Gonzo $30 million a year and that's why they didn't want to do anything now, I don't buy it. Like,
you can manipulate the cap, the bill comes due.
Yeah.
You'd never get away from paying the bill.
Sure.
Like, at some point, you have to pay the piper.
And they can afford it. Like, they can, but to me, that should, if that is part of their calculus, then that's telling me they don't fully believe in the team they have right now, so they just don't want to spend money on it right now.
And that's scary, right? Because,
well,
again,
and I think on one hand, like, looking at it rationally, okay, they're 7-2. They're good. They're, I think, in the over the course of the rest of this year, I don't know if we're going to look back and say, hey, they ended up being as good as Buffalo or Kansas City or Philadelphia or some of these other legit Detroit, some of those higher-end. And I know they beat Buffalo already. I get it. But I'm saying over the long term, I don't know. And I think they look at it and said, anybody we trade for is not going to make us better than Philly or Detroit or Kansas City. And we can agree or disagree, but I think that played into – I don't think it was the money. I think it's that.
If you're saying that as the team, though, behind closed doors, then don't tell me the strength of schedule doesn't matter. Because if you're looking at Philly and Buffalo, who you already beat, and Kansas City, maybe throw them in there, even though they're scrapping right now, you're looking at Detroit, you're looking at anybody else you want to throw in, and you're saying we're not as good as them, then don't tell me that the strength of schedule doesn't count to you, because you're already making a judgment call on where these different teams are ranked right now as we sit in week 10. I have another question for you about this, and I have a few more thoughts. We got to break very quickly. We see your phone calls lining up, and we're going to get to you guys because we want to get your perspective as well. But another thing on the other side of this that I want to get to is a certain stat that is getting quoted for Drake May and other quarterbacks quite a lot. And when we have two of the best quarterbacks this season seeing each other on Sunday, I got to tell you, I might be done with this stat. I might be done with it, John Lyons. And I'm not a huge stat head, but this is one that when we hear about it every week, even when the quarterback doesn't have a great day, it might be time to retire it right after this break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.